So if you want to turn there, remember last week we saw the actual captivity take place where Israel was taken by Nebuchadnezzar, and we saw Jeremiah end up in jail twice, one time in the prison house, but then another time lower down into the muck. And God sent that man Ebed-Melech to rescue him. And it was all over him telling them the truth, what was coming. Sometimes when we tell the truth, we're going to be persecuted for it. The Bible says, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, 2 Timothy 3:12. So tonight is just a continuation of that. So Israel has now, to give you context, has now been taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar left behind just a remnant of the poor people to just kind of keep the place running. And they left certain people in charge. And Jeremiah was left behind as well. Remember, he was given the choice by Nebuchadnezzar to do whatever he wanted. And he chose to stay behind and stay near and live near Jerusalem. So that brings us to chapter 42, verse 1. The Bible says that all the captains of the forces and Johanan, the son of Kareah, and Jezaniah, the son of Hoshaiah, and all the people, from the least even unto the greatest, came near and said unto Jeremiah the prophet, let, we beseech thee, our supplication be accepted before thee, and pray for us unto the Lord our God, unto the Lord thy God, even for all this remnant, for we are left but a few of many, as thine eyes do behold us, that the Lord thy God may show us the way wherein we may walk, and the thing that we may do. Then Jeremiah the prophet said unto them, I have heard you. Behold, I will pray unto the Lord your God according to your words. And it shall come to pass that whatsoever thing the Lord shall answer you, I will declare it unto you. I will keep nothing back from you. Then they said to Jeremiah, the Lord be a true and faithful witness between us, if we do not even according to all things for the which the Lord thy God shall send thee to us, whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God, to whom we send thee, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. So we're going to look at three different chapters, but we're going to stop there and pray and dive in. So Lord, we pray that you would use your word in our hearts this evening, Lord, to really speak to us and change us. We thank you for the power of your word and trust in it tonight. And we love you. We pray you'd meet with us. Be with the many in our flock that are not well. Raise them up, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that we would leave here changed by the power of your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So the few that are left, the remnant that's left, here in Jerusalem after the captivity of Nebuchadnezzar, come, as you see, they come to Jeremiah. Because he stayed behind, they recognize he's a prophet of the Lord. They've seen now that his prophecy came true, even though he almost ended up martyred for the prophecy. And that prophecy was that Nebuchadnezzar would take them captive, would destroy the city, and that's exactly what he did. So they come to Jeremiah and they say, would you please go to God, and would you please pray for us, but also ask God what his will is. So that's a good thing. But they did that. They said in verse 2, pray for us. And then they said on down, we want to obey God. In verse 5, it said, if we do not according to all the things which the Lord thy God shall send thee to us. So we want to hear what God's will is. Please pray for us. And that's all good. But as you're going to see, God is not looking for our words. He's looking for our obedience. And you know, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Bible says, 1 John 5:3, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And so they've come, and it sounds good what they're asking Jeremiah, but as you're going to see, what matters is the heart. And so we can go all day long saying, I love the Lord, I want to obey God, but if it doesn't show up in our actions and our obedience, they're just words. They're just empty words. Sadly, in this case, they're just empty words. And so God gave them their request. He says there in verse 7, it came to pass after 10 days that the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah. Then called he Jehonan the son of Kareah and all the captains of the forces which were with him and all the people from the least even to the greatest. So the entire remnant that was left in Jerusalem came to hear what God's will was. Verse 9, he said unto them, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, unto whom ye sent me to present your supplication before him, if You will still abide in this land. Then will I build you and not pull you down, and I will plant you and not pluck you up, for I repent me of the evil that I have done unto you. Be not afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom you are afraid. Be not afraid of him, saith the Lord, for I am with you to save you and to deliver you from his hand. And I will show mercies unto you, that he may have mercy upon you and cause you to return to your own land. But if ye say, we will not dwell in this land, neither obey the voice of the Lord your God, saying, nay, but we will go into the land of Egypt, where we shall see no war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor have hunger of bread, and there will we dwell. And now therefore hear the word of the Lord, you remnant of Judah. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, if ye wholly set your face to enter into Egypt and go to sojourn there, then it shall come to pass that the sword which ye feared shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt, and the famine whereof you were afraid shall follow close after you there in Egypt, and there ye shall die. So it shall be with all the men that set their faces to go into Egypt to sojourn there. They shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, and none of them shall remain or escape from the evil that I will bring upon them. So God made it very clear. He answered their prayer, and he gave them exactly what they said. What is God's will for us? And whatever it is, we will obey. Verse 20. This is God speaking. For ye dissembled in your hearts when you sent me unto the Lord your God, saying, pray for us unto the Lord our God, and according unto all that the Lord our God shall say, so declare unto us, and we will do it. And now I have this day declared it to you, but ye have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God, nor anything for the which he hath sent me unto you. Now therefore know certainly that ye shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence in the place whither ye desire to go and to sojourn. So it's not really a complicated thing, is it? If you'll stay in Jerusalem, even though it's been raised by Nebuchadnezzar and it's a mess, if you'll stay here, God will take care of you. If you choose to flee to Egypt thinking you're going to escape war, you will die there. Pretty clear. Now this word dissemble, it means to wander, means to go astray. God said, you asked me what your will is, or what my will is, and I told you, but you didn't mean it. You have gone astray in your hearts. And there's a lot of Christians like this that say, well, I want to obey God, and I want whatever God wants for my life, but then when God makes his will clear, they say, yeah, but I don't want to do that. I be honest, I deal with it quite often in counseling situations, and not that I counsel a lot, but people will come and say, what's God's will in this situation? I say, well, here's what the Bible says. And they're like, well, I don't like that. Sorry, that's what the Bible says. I mean, what else can you tell people when they come for counsel but say, this is what the Bible says, and you show them and they're like, yeah, but I don't like that answer. This is exactly what Israel's doing. We don't like the answer, as you'll see. So they go to chapter 40. It reminds me, actually, of the guy who came to Christ and said, Lord, I'll follow you whithersoever thou goest. Remember in Luke? And the one man said, I will follow thee, but first let me go and bid them farewell which are at my house. And that's where Jesus said, if any man put his hand to the plow and look back, he's not fit for the kingdom of God. How many Christians say, Lord, I'll follow you, Lord, I'll obey you, but I want what I want? And that's exactly what's happened. So chapter 43, this is where things get interesting. Verse 1, it came to pass that when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking unto all the people all the words of the Lord their God, for which the Lord their God had sent him to them, even all these words, then spake Azariah the son of Hoshaiah and Johanan the son of Kariah and all the proud men, saying unto Jeremiah, thou speakest falsely. Sound familiar? The Lord our God hath not sent thee to say, go not into Egypt to sojourn there. Thou speakest falsely. We just read their commitment. Please pray for us. Please go to God. Whatever God says, we'll do. God came back and said, okay, this is what I want you to do. But he told them in advance, you've dissembled in your hearts. You've already gone astray in your hearts. You're not going to obey me anyway. God even told them in advance, the one thing I don't want you to do is to go into Egypt. What do you think they're going to do? They're going to go into Egypt. So they come to Jeremiah and they say, okay, we heard you. We made a commitment. We don't like what you said. So you're obviously speaking falsely. Listen, if our reaction to God's commands is to get angry or to doubt that that's really God's will for our lives, then we're in serious trouble, aren't we? You know, the Bible says, Proverbs 16:25, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There's God's ways and there's man's ways, like we talked about this morning. And we always have a choice. But when God speaks to our heart from His Word and says, this is the way I want you to go, this is a change I want you to make in your life, at that moment, we always have a choice, just like these people did, to either change and obey or not. It's going to come down to an act of our will, isn't it? I want to obey God. It might be painful. It may not line up with what I want. But I want to please God above all else. These people did not. So verse 3, Baruch, the son of Neriah, setteth thee on against us for to deliver us into the hand of the Chaldeans, so they might put us to death and carry us away captives into Babylon. So Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces and all the people obeyed not the voice of the Lord to dwell in the land of Judah. Obeyed not. Just by way of review, look up at verse 5 of chapter 42. They said to Jeremiah, the Lord be a true and faithful witness between us if we do not even according to all things which the Lord thy God shall send thee to us. Whatever you say, we're going to do it. In verse 4, all the people obeyed not the voice of the Lord. It's amazing, isn't it? This is what God was talking about in Isaiah 63:10, where the Bible says, they rebelled and vexed His Holy Spirit. And when we disobey, we do the very same thing. Now, if you would, look at 1 Samuel 15. This is God's perspective on rebellion, disobedience. It's not complicated. Do you know in Old Testament law, thankfully we don't have this law today, well, maybe not thankfully, but in Old Testament law, if parents came to the elders at the gate of the city and said, no matter what we've tried, our son will not obey, that the elders would bring all the people together and they would stone him to death? Our schools would be pretty empty, wouldn't they? Anyway, the Bible says, 1 Samuel 15:23, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. That's what God thinks about rebellion. He hates it. He equates it to witchcraft and idolatry. Rebellion. The Bible says, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination, in Proverbs 28:9. And of course, let's look at James 4:17, a New Testament equivalent. And as Jesus said, unto whom much is given, much is required. There are people around the world that they might have found Christ, but they don't even have a full copy of the Word of God in their language. Imagine what that would be like. Maybe only have one book or maybe just a little bit. There's still people in Papua New Guinea that don't have the Bible in their language. But James 4:17 says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Because we do have a full copy of the Word of God, and because we can understand it, we're accountable to obey. To obey the Word of God. And these people made a commitment. We want to obey God. We want to do whatever God tells us to do. And then God said, this is exactly what I want you to do. And they said, well, we don't want to do that. We wanted to hear something else. Oh, I'm sorry, that's God's will. And the Bible says we're to understand what the will of the Lord is, and we are to obey it. So back down in chapter 43, verse 7. So they came into the land of Egypt, for they obeyed not the voice of the Lord. So not only did they disobey, but they actually did the exact thing that God said not to do. So God not only said, stay in Jerusalem, but he specifically said, don't go into Egypt. And they said, you speak falsely. We're not going to obey. We're going to Egypt. And they all died. There, that's the end of the story. Because God said they would. So chapter 44, verse 2. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, you have seen all the evil that I brought upon Jerusalem and upon all the cities of Judah. And behold, this day they are a desolation, and no man dwelleth therein. Because of their wickedness, which they have committed to provoke me to anger, and that they went to burn incense and to serve other gods, whom they knew not, neither nay ye nor your fathers. Howbeit, I sent unto you all my servants the prophets, rising early and sending them, saying, oh, do not this abominable thing that I hate. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear to turn from their wickedness, to burn no incense unto other gods. Wherefore, my fury and mine anger was poured forth, and was kindled in the cities of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem, and they are wasted and desolate as at this day. Such a sad, sad story. And these are the leftovers. Israel's already been taken captive. Now Judah's been taken captive. They're in Babylon. These are just the people left behind. You would think that after all they'd seen and experienced, they'd at least be willing to listen and obey. But instead, they listened and did the exact opposite of what God told them to do. And so verse 13, I will punish them that dwell in the land of Egypt. And if you read the story, that's exactly what happened. They disobeyed, they went straight to Egypt, and they died. Egypt got attacked, and all the Israelites that ran to Egypt died. And so verse 27, behold, I will watch over them for evil and not for good. And all the men of Judah that are in the land of Egypt shall be consumed by the sword and by the famine until there be an end of them. I don't think this story could get any sadder, could it? So let's go to 1 Corinthians 11. God explains that we as his children always have a choice. We've been given a free will, but we also have been given the Holy Spirit of God to indwell and to guide us into truth, as we talked this morning. When God reveals his will to us, we always have a choice, obey or disobey. God really is that black and white. 1 Corinthians 11, notice verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. And what we're seeing in Israel, of course Israel pictures the Christian in a lot of ways, is God's chastisement for disobedience. What we see here in this passage in 1 Corinthians 11 is the same thing. God loves us enough as our Father, our loving Father, to chasten us when we disobey. Just like we're commanded as parents to do for our children. We're commanded to chasten our children. God chastens us. Why? Because he doesn't love us? No, the opposite. Because he does love us. Because he wants us to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Because he wants us to live for him. So he wants us to be effective servants for him. But it's always going to come down to obedience. And as God says in 1 Peter, that we're to be obedient children. So this is just one of those sad stories in the life of Israel, to where they get this one last opportunity to obey and stay. And they said, well, we heard you, and we don't like what we heard, and we're going to do the opposite. And that is not the attitude that's going to get us very far, even as Christians. When God speaks to us from his word, and he does all the time, doesn't he? When we study it, when we are reading it, when we're meditating in it, when we're in church, hearing it taught or preached, the Holy Spirit takes it. And as the Bible reads, it pierces to the dividing of soul and spirit. It discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart, and it convicts us. I mean, that's why we expose ourselves to the word, because it has the power to change our lives, right? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But when that happens, every time we always have a choice when the Holy Spirit convicts us to obey or disobey. And 1 John 5:3, we'll turn there. I quoted it earlier, but if you want to know how to tell God you love him, there's really only one way. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. And God doesn't say this is a list of ways. He says, this is the way to show your love for the Lord. You know, people want us to believe, no, it's the worship service or it's singing to Him. No, it is obedience. Now, if we're living in obedience and we're close to God, we will want to worship Him because that's a beautiful thing. It's something we should be doing. But the way that we show our love for the Lord has never been different. 1 John 5:3, this is the love of God. Notice it doesn't say this is some of the love of God or one of the ways that we what? Keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. Israel said, oh, that's grievous. Not going into Egypt, staying here in Jerusalem after it's been raised by Nebuchadnezzar. Oh, we don't like the sound of that. That's grievous. Grievous meaning heavy or a burden. The Bible says the commandments are not grievous. They said, oh, that's too heavy for us. We can't bear that commandment. We're going to go to Egypt anyway. And they all died. How many times does God speak to us specifically from His Word? And our response is, well, that's just, I don't like that. I don't like the sound of that. I don't want to obey that command. Just means it's going to take us that much longer to get there. Amen? That we, Romans 8:29, we'll finish there this evening. God is working in our lives every day, using trials, using people, using the Holy Spirit, using His Word. But look what He's trying to do in our lives. Verse 29 of Romans 8. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be what? Conformed to the image of His Son. Those trials that come, God's conforming us. When somebody comes along and lovingly says in our ear, that's really not that wise, that's conforming us. When the Holy Spirit convicts us through His Word as we're reading it, or maybe we're in church, or we hear it some other way, that's God conforming us. And we can allow the confirmation to take place, or the conforming to take place, or we can say no. It just means He's still going to get us there. We're just going to get there the long way. Because He'll bring something else into our life to bring us back. Much better to do it the first time. Amen. If Israel would have just listened, they wouldn't have all died in Egypt. But they did. It all started, though, way up there in, what verse was it? Sorry, too many pages here. Oh, verse 20 of chapter 42. It started in the heart. Ye dissembled in your hearts. You went astray, or you erred, or you wandered in your hearts. You'd already resolved in your hearts what you wanted to do. And even though you made this huge commitment that you're going to obey me no matter what I say, you'd already made your decision. We must be very careful about that rebellious attitude, to not make these decisions in advance, that no matter what God says, I'm doing this. Because God may want us to do this. And we need to listen when He does. So be careful, because the devil definitely wants us to dissemble in our hearts, to wander or disobey. God only wants obedience. Now, I've heard people say, oh, He wants us to be a witness, He wants us to worship, He wants all those things. But it all comes down to obedience. That's how we love Him. If you love me, keep my commandments. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your beautiful word.